chapter number 3 in your Bibles. I want to speak to you on the subject of Moses this morning. And Moses made a mistake about God in this passage of Scripture. And I want you to notice what God did for him in this passage of Scripture. I'm thankful that God does some amazing things for us that are seen in the passage of Scripture and are seen in our life, and see what God can do in a life. And I want to bring this to your attention this morning. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse number 7. Verse number 7. And we'll read for the first verses 7 through 14 this morning in your Bible. So follow along if you would please as I read. Beginning with verse 7. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, what I have sent thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we ask your power and your blessings this morning as we open the Word of God. And Lord, I pray for every hearer, Lord, who hears your word this morning, that the truth of thy passage of Scripture, Lord, would meet our needs and speak to our hearts today. And God, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'd meet every need that we have in our lives today. And Lord, that thy word would be true and powerful to each heart and each life this morning in this place. And those who listen online, Lord, we pray also your great blessings on them as they're hearing this message, Lord, and hearing your word. We pray for that. So use us, we pray, dear Lord. Speak to our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you today on the thought, never underestimate God. Never underestimate God. The passage of Scripture that we read this morning is really about Moses, a sheep herder, a shepherd, if you will. Been on the backside of the desert here for the past 40 years. And all of a sudden, he turns a corner and he sees a burning bush. But the bush is not consumed in the flame. And he hears then a voice of God speak to him. And he shows him the burning bush, and Moses, out of curiosity, he goes up to that burning bush. And if you saw a bush that was burning but not consumed, you'd be interested too. So God, Moses comes up and he looks and he sees that burning bush. And God says, take your shoes off. Where you're standing is holy ground. He took his shoes off. He stood on holy ground. And God had a task for him, didn't he? God told him, said, Now, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people, and I've seen their suffering. And Moses, I want you to go to him. I want you to go into there and deliver them. If we were to put Moses' response into today's terminology, Moses probably would have looked at God and said, yeah, right, whatever. God, you're asking a sheep herder who's been on the backside of the desert for 40 years. I haven't been to Pharaoh in 40 years. But the reigning world kingdom at the time, I, a sheep herder, am going to walk in to Pharaoh and say, let my people go right now. Are you sure about this, God? Are you talking to me? Maybe you're talking to somebody else. Is anybody else around here that you might have been talking to? God said, no, I'm talking to you, Moses. I want you to go in, and I want you to talk to Pharaoh. I want you to tell him, let my people go. I've heard their cry. By the way, it's important to cry out to God, because that verse proves that God hears us when we cry. Amen. So he cried out to God, and God said, oh, my ears were there, and he heard their cry, and he heard their sufferings, and he knew that he needed an obedient servant of God to deliver his people and bring them out. God chose Moses. But I want you to notice something. Moses underestimated what God could do. Notice, please, and this is what I want to focus on, is this idea in verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, Moses' reasoning for underestimating God is that he thought he had to do all of this. He thought it had to be something within his own human power which caused him to do this. And the Lord had to get his mind straightened out in verse number 12. And he says, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, verse 12, that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. God said, no, it's not you, Moses. I want you to take me to Pharaoh. I am the one that's going to be with you. Can I tell you, all human abilities can do nothing. But I want to tell you something. With God, all things are possible. You know, I wonder if we really believe that. I wonder if we really believe it. I wonder if God says a lot of things in his word, but yet we just don't believe it. Right. And sometimes the reason we underestimate God is because our human reasoning is limited. Yeah. But the great I am is not limited at all. There is nothing, I said nothing, that can limit God. Amen. Nothing. So Pharaoh, he goes and he says, Lord, I think you got the wrong one. And he goes and he hadn't got a hold of this yet. And so chapter 4, verse 1, he does the same thing. Look at it. Chapter 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. There he's got me in the situation again, doesn't he? They're not going to listen to me. And I think God probably said, hey, dummy, they're not supposed to listen to you. They're supposed to listen to me. But somehow he underestimated God, because he was looking at God through human lenses instead of by faith. You know, faith and believing God are the connection to seeing what God really can do. Some people we lose our faith. We resort to human reasoning. It doesn't fit right. It doesn't think right. It doesn't fit my thinking. But I want to tell you something. If it fits in God's thinking, all we need to do is believe by faith and never underestimate God. Because God can do. Listen, we serve the God who spoke the universe into existence. He spoke, and it was so. We serve that God. And I want to preach to you today because we often limit ourselves. We often limit what God does because we're looking at our own abilities. And may I tell you what? That was what Moses did. He was looking at his own abilities instead of God's abilities in him. You know, I'm reminded we do this all the time. And we go out and talk to people about the Lord. And, you know, I want to tell you something. When you go soul winning, I want to tell you something. You need to take God with you. Amen? Amen? When you go soul winning, there's people out there that need God. They don't need to hear from me. They need to hear from God. And God will go with you. And sometimes we say, oh, that person will never meet Christ. That person will never get saved. No, if they see us, they never will. But if they see God, and we don't underestimate what he can do, God can do great things. Amen. Now, I want you to notice a few things about God here in the passage that reveals us. Number one, never underestimate God and his promises. When God makes a promise, do you realize he's going to keep that promise? Do you realize that? God's going to keep these promises. If not, he's not God. He's a liar. But I want you to know he's not a liar. He's God. He's always true. He's always right. He never fails. It's us that underestimate him. God made promises. You know, when God said, go, I'll be with thee, all Moses had to do was get connected with that thought. That thought had to lodge in the gray matter and in his heart. That thought, if that thought lodges within his mind, hey, listen, you'd be surprised what God can do when you believe his word. Oh, the Bible's full of promises. Take those promises that God has. You know, I love that verse, Jeremiah 33:3. If I didn't already have a life verse, I'd claim that one. In fact, I might start putting both of them down. I like it. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. You know what we do? The first thing we do is we say, oh, I can't do it. You know, what we need to say is God can. God can. Do you remember? You know, when God said, lead the children of Israel out, I will guide you. I'll take you, and I'm going to lead you into a promised land. God kept his promise, but what happened? You remember? Finally, Pharaoh relented. And by the way, it was his hardened heart that would not allow him to listen to God's will. And finally, Moses led the children of Israel out. And he came to the Red Sea, didn't he? And Pharaoh got this brilliant idea in his head. He said, you know what? I shouldn't have let them go. I should, I'm just going to go annihilate them all. He mounted up his chariots and he went. He had them trapped by the edge of the sea. Boy, I bet Pharaoh was thinking, I'm going to make a big slaughter today. I bet he was thinking that. But there they were. Moses in the middle, Pharaoh's army on one side, and the Red Sea on the other. But wait a minute, God had a promise for him. God's promise was that I am going to take you, I'm going to lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. God said to Moses, all right, see that staff in your hand? Stretch it out. Stretch it out over the sea. Man, I'm telling you, I'd hate to have been a fish down in that ocean. That sea started opening it up and parted it up. And by the way, it wasn't muddy ground they went on. It was dry ground they went on across there. God made a way. You know why he made a way? Because he made a promise. He said, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to lead you into land flowing with milk and honey. That Red Sea opened up. They crossed on dry land and Pharaoh said, this looks pretty good. I think I'm going to follow. Now, don't you think Pharaoh would have stopped in the middle and said, how come I'm going through dry ground here? Don't you think Pharaoh would have stopped and you know, God is pretty obvious to a lot of people, but they never see him. Yes. God is right there in front of this whole world's face, but they can't see him. And they walked across on dry ground, and Pharaoh said, let's go across, boys. And as they're going across, God closed those waters in. You know, I believe that was the end, the beginning of the end of the Egyptian dynasty. Because the army was gone, Pharaoh. His army was destroyed. But let me tell you what didn't fail was God's promise. God's promise. I want to say to you today, get a hold of some promises of God. Claim these promises of God. Don't look at what God wants to do through the eyes of can't. Look what God wants to do through the eyes of his promises. Promises of God. Can I say second of all, don't underestimate God in the midst of your problems. Don't underestimate God in the midst of your problem. Can I tell you something? I know one thing about all of us. And I'm going to tell everybody what it is right now. You say, uh-oh, here it comes. Preacher, you must talk to my wife this week. No. I'll tell you what I know about all of us. We all have some kind of problem. We have a problem of some kind, one or another, in our life. We do. You say, what is that? Well, come back tonight. I might get more specific. What is that? We all have problems in our life. Can I tell you something? We serve a God that's greater than your problem.
Yes, sir.
I said, we serve a God that is greater than our problem.
Amen.
And our problem is we don't believe that. Because we're looking at it through our own lenses and there's no faith involved in our life. You say, oh, now, preacher, you're dealing in fanciful things. You're dealing in odd things. You're dealing in things that aren't always there. I want to tell you something. We serve a great and an amazing God who can do great things. Our problem is we underestimate him.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus said in the book of James, ask and ye shall receive. Do we believe that? Was God having a bad day when he wrote that? Does he not mean what he says? You know that word ask? You say, well, I've asked God and he hadn't answered my prayer. And you see, God's trying to get us to ask and ask. The word ask in that passage of scripture means keep on asking. 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 Don't get tired of asking. God said, keep on asking. I think we give up. Right when the prayer might come. Because you see, oftentimes we turn and start looking at ourselves and start thinking in our human abilities. But God doesn't want us to do that. God tells us to walk by faith. Faith. Do you have that kind of faith in your life? Oh, we need that kind of faith in our life. Moses... He said, Lord, I got a problem. Look at verse 10 of chapter 4. Notice another thing Moses said. He said, Moses said unto the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. At least that's how he thought of himself, right? Whether that's true or not, he was still looking at his own self, his own ability. I want to tell you something. There's an ability of God way beyond your ability. There is something that God, there's a God out there who can do things greater than you and I ever imagined. And our problem is that we look at our own human way instead of just keep on asking and asking God. Well, God, I'm going to give up on you because you didn't answer my prayer in the time frame that I gave you. Oh, let me tell you something. I've learned that God wants us to keep praying because as we keep praying, we get closer to God. As we keep praying, we get closer to God. You know, we'd be pretty sorry Christians if we got our answer to prayer the first time we prayed for it. Amen. You realize that? We would look at God as an emergency plan. We'd say, God, this is what I need. And God does it all right. You know what you'd do? You'd sit back and kind of take God for granted. We wouldn't really learn faith and trust in God. We wouldn't learn it if we got what we wanted the first time we prayed. You say, what, is God playing tricks with us? No, he's not playing tricks with us. God desires for our prayers to be answered. But I tell you, he desires us to draw close to him in the process. Because we have to realize it's not of us. We have to realize it's of him. It's of God. You know, your problems today and my problems today, if you put them in the hand of a God who can speak worlds into existence and trust him, I'd say, you know, we'd be doing a lot better if we did that. Don't look at your problems. Put your eyes on God who can solve those problems. He's the God of all things. I think there's a few people in Scripture who had some problems. You say, I think Sarah had a problem. Are you with me? God came to Sarah when she was 90 years old and he said, Sarah, guess what? You're going to have a baby. 90 years old and going to have a baby. Now, that's a blessing, I'm sure, but I think she thought it was going to be a problem. Right? Can you understand? It's a problem. I'm 90 years old and I'm going to have a baby. I should be having great grandkids. Yeah. Keep that great stretched out all down the line. No! I'm going to give you a promised seed. And you know what? It didn't happen right away. She lost faith and sent Abram into Hagar. And somehow both of them kind of lost faith in the promise of God because they didn't see God could solve that problem. Now, don't laugh at Sarah too much. We do the same thing. We trust in ourselves when really we should just be praying and asking God and give it to God. Draw closer to God in prayer. That's what we should be doing. And I think that's why God doesn't answer our prayers many times. It's because we want the answer to prayer more than the God of the answer of the prayer in our life. She had a problem. She had a problem. There's a God who can see those needs. He can see those troubles. He knows. He sees them. We got to pray, ask God to take care of them. Ask God in his time and in his will, he'll take care of them. Or his promises are no good. Don't underestimate what God can do. Don't underestimate what God can do. Someone mentioned me this week, just what God did on Wednesday night when I showed you how God took that church out of nothing. No church there in Rwanda. God took that church and a few churches gathered some money together, sent it there. And the first Sunday, 2 weeks ago, they had 132 people in attendance. Amen. In that church because somebody believed God. They believed God. You know, I believe you ought to give by faith. Amen, preacher. You stay on that point. Keep preaching it. I said, I believe we ought to give by faith.
Amen.
The just shall live by faith, God says. You say, well, That's hard for me. That's because you're looking at you. You're doing Mosesology. You got Moses' thinking in your head. When will we ever come to a day when we recognize how truly great our God is, that he desires to do great things? I think we see little things because we look at ourselves, what we can do, and we don't look at what God can do. God took a sheep herder and made the king of the world bow before his feet and give him every demand he wanted. That wasn't Moses that could do that. That was God that did that. You see, God just oftentimes has to show us what he can do so we don't underestimate him. And oftentimes in our life, you say, oh, you're just preaching a positive gospel. Hey, it happened. It happened. Oh, that's just, you know, hey, I'm against the power of positive thinking. I don't think positive thinking gets you anywhere. I think thinking on the Word of God and its truths will get you somewhere. Moses went in. God did what he got through it. God did some great things. Hey, I think if we just do more by faith what God wants us to do, he'll bless it, and he will do greater things than we can imagine. Amen. Don't underestimate God. Don't underestimate God. You remember Joseph? Joseph, his brothers despised him, threw him in a pit. And there's Joseph sitting down in a pit, looking up. God, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do with me? Sheep herders come along, pull him out. They're going to take him to Egypt, be a slave master. We're going to sell him. And somehow he made it into Pharaoh's courtyard. He rose all the way up. God was on him. Oh, what happened? Thrown back in prison. God, now what are you going to do? I've been in the pit. I've been in prison now. Now what are you going to do? He said, you just trust me. You keep your eye on me. See, most of us don't really believe that God can work through our problems and our troubles. Most of us don't believe that. I think if we did, we would understand there's a God who can do greater things than we can imagine. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's what God can do. That blows my mind. You say, I got a problem. Well, you can resort in your own human resources to solve it, or you can start going to God. You can start going to God. Trust God for it. Don't underestimate him. Don't underestimate him. You know, the story didn't end there. God took Joseph out of the pit, out of the prison, and he put Joseph number two in command in Egypt, and it was him that saved the world from starvation when he listened to God. God can do the same thing. We don't serve a God. His hand is not sure. His ear is not dull that he cannot hear. His eye is not closed that he cannot see. We just have to believe him, trust him, and pray and pray and pray and keep asking him. Sometimes somebody will come to me and have a trouble or a problem, and I welcome that. I'm glad to help anybody I can. Any way I can, I want to be a help. But I have to admit to you, I don't have a magic wand. I can't solve every problem. No man can. But I will tell you this much. There is a God in heaven. And if we really believe in Him and get a hold of Him, we can see what God can do in our life. Amen. I challenge you with the thought. I challenge you with the truth today. I challenge you to go after God, to consider less of ourselves, but to consider greatly how much God can do. He can do more than we ever thought or more than we ever imagined. God can do great things. I'm praying for great things in this church. You say, what do you mean? I don't know. I'll let God do that. I'll let Him figure it out. Amen. His choices are better than mine. But I'm praying that God will just do some great things through this church. And God can, God will. We just can't underestimate what He can do. He can do great things. So I ask you this morning, are you underestimating God in your life? Is He not God, or are you the one that thinks you have to do it? See, God wants us to be in the place of obedience and blessing so that He can do it through us. Ultimately, it's Him that does great things, but He's got to have a channel to bless. He's got to have a channel, a human way. Had Moses not been yielded to God, he'd have never gone to Pharaoh. And I'm simply saying today, put yourself in that place where God can use you to do great things. You say, oh, that's just fanciful thinking. Ask Noah. Ask Abraham what God can do. And you know, He didn't change being God just because we live in 2023. He didn't change being God. I wrote a few checks this week. I don't know why I wrote 2024. Amen. If you were senile as I, you'd do the same thing. Amen. But I wrote 2024. But I'll tell you what, I'm a year ahead. I'm normally a year behind. Yeah. But we serve a God who can do great things. Amen. We serve a God who can answer prayers. We serve a God who can do great. You know, I've had 3 cars in my life given to me when I needed one. God knew the need. God supplied the need. And I take it back. I had 2 given to me, but I had 1 that I had to pay a dollar for. It was a Ford, so it was a whole lot more costly. A lot more costly. And you say, what are you trying to say? I'm saying God's people got to get a hold of God. God's people got to realize who God is and not underestimate Him in our life. God can do amazing things, and I believe He will. Wait a minute, preacher. The economy's bad. Yeah, I know. I know some of you pedal your bicycles to church instead of drive a car. Before long, we'll have a bunch of bicycles out there on the parking lot coming to church because of gas price. I get it. I understand. Hey, I tell you what, doesn't matter. God knows. Like one preacher said, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and there's oil in those hills too. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He'll do things for you and I. Don't underestimate God. You know, don't underestimate, lastly, the power of God to do what He wants to do. You know, God wants to see people saved. He wants to see lives changed. That's the number one purpose. Number one purpose that you and I have in this life, when you get saved, is to see other people get saved and come to know Christ. That's our number one purpose. That's why God left us here on this earth. So we can see somebody else saved. I believe God can use us to do it. as we keep praying and keep going, soul winning, keep after it. Just stay with it. See what God can do. Don't underestimate God. So you got a burden today, you got a problem, you got something you can't see your way through. You're not supposed to always see your way through. You're supposed to trust in the one who does see the way through. And put your faith in him and trust in him. I'm not limiting what we should be doing, playing our own part, but I'll tell you what, oftentimes we only look at our own part. We don't look at what God can do. And dear friend, we underestimate what God can do so many times. Oh, but God can do great things. Brother, I got a text this morning from one of our missionaries, Brother Aaron McCullough. He said he's praying for us today. I said, thank you, Brother Aaron. Talked with him just a few texts. I said, how you doing? He said, I've been in Mexico, and now I'm getting ready to go to Africa. He said, we've seen lots of people get saved. Hallelujah. God wants to do that. God wants to see people saved. Can you tell me, if you die and go to heaven, what's more important? What's more important? When they roll your body down here in a casket and we think of your life, is there going to be a trail of souls behind you that you've left in this life? Hey, guess what? They're not going to put your cash in that casket with you. Amen? They're not going to put that house in that casket with you. They're not going to put all those things. But we're going to have a remembrance, a memory of what you trusted in your life. That's what's going to matter. I say to you today, let's trust God. Let's put our faith in him greater. Let's trust his promises. Let's not look at our abilities to solve those problems. Let's go to God and let's look at his ability. Let's see what he can do and trust in him and pray. You know, if God said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, that sounds to me like God wants that done. And if God wants it done, he will empower it to be done. And we just have to pray and ask him to do it, and he will. He will. He will. Trust in God. Put your faith in him. See what God can do. You might just be shocked at what God can do. D.L. Moody, I like what that quote D.L. Moody said. He said, the world has little seen nor yet heard what God can do with one man wholly committed to him. What God can do. Christian, this morning, let's not underestimate God. Let's take him at his word. Let's pray. Let's put aside our own thinking. Let's magnify his plan. Let's magnify his purposes on this earth, that his will can be done in our life. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let's close our eyes.